The WB Warner Brothers Shield. The Shield and the B fade away. Warner Independent Pictures, a Time Warner company. The sun rises on a distant, dark horizon. A boy in silhouette walks over the curved horizon and stops by a flower. He picks it, then releases it into the air. It floats upwards and becomes the corolla of a flower, across it the word Gaumont. Partisan Films. Warner Independent Pictures et Gaumont présente une production Partisan Films en coproduction avec Gaumont, France 3 Cinéma, avec la participation de Canal Plus TPS Star. A slim, handsome, dark-haired young man plays a set of drums. Stéphane TV. In the makeshift cardboard TV studio, he leaps from the drums and moves to a keyboard. He adjusts two cardboard cameras to face a kitchen set onto which he races.
Hi. Welcome back to another episode of Télévision Éducative. Tonight, I'll show you how dreams are prepared. People think it's a very simple and easy process, but it's a bit more complicated than that. As you can see, a very delicate combination of complex ingredients is the key. First, we put in some random thoughts, and then we add a little bit of reminiscences of the day, mixed with some memories from the past. It's for two people. Love, friendships, relationships, and all those ships,
together with songs you heard during the day, things you saw, and also personal.
Okay, I think it's one. There it goes.
Yes.
Okay,
we have pink steam emerges from the pot with the ingredients.
I'm talking quietly to not wake myself up. I'm with my dad.
Yes, Dad.
I remember. My father was there. It's nice to see him healthy and normal again. I almost forgot how he looked. Handsome, no? Oh yeah, we're in a concert. A Duke Ellington concert. Yes, my man, Duke Ellington. And the band starts to play. Bass, drums and all. It's amazing, they got this super swing. And the Duke enters the stage. He's radiant in a glowing white tuxedo.
The Duke. Last time was at the Olympia in 1958. Thanks for the invitation.
Muchas gracias, mis hijitos, por la invitación.
Oye.
But what is this? This isn't Duke Ellington. It's Duck Ellington.
Pato, esto es un pato Ellington.
Dad, this is not Duke Ellington, but Duck Ellington. This is a dream.
¿Qué?
I'm sorry, Dad. But you're dead. You've lost the battle to cancer.
No, I cried so hard. I could feel my tears forming to rivers under my eyes. In dreams, emotions are overwhelming.
The young man, Stéphane, with a faint moustache and beard, sits in the back of a taxi.
Here's good.
He searches in his pockets. The boot of the taxi is open. Stéphane, a colourful woolly hat on his head, is piled high with a backpack and bags. He also takes a portfolio. The cab driver shuts the boot as Stéphane strides over to tall double doors, sets down his stuff, and takes a set of keys from his pocket. The taxi moves off and rounds a corner, leaving Stéphane fumbling on the doorstep. A woman opens the door.
Calm down, you'll knock my door down. What?
Mrs. Miro.
No, she's not here.
But I...
That door won't last.
Stéphane,
is it you?
C'est toi.
She hugs him.
Eh? You're back. Let me look at you. Oh, those eyes. You're almost a man now. I'll help. Your keys.
They climb the stairs.
Your poor father. I hope we'll see more of your mother now. See? Nothing's changed.
They enter an apartment.
There we are. Do you recognize it? I'm glad the place will be lived in.
Ivana crosses to the answering machine.
There's a message. Your mom should see to the mail.
Sorry I couldn't pick you up. Gerard was sick all night. Here's the address for your job tomorrow. At 10 a.m. see Mr. Pouchet at the La Trail Company.
They're a good firm.
30 Rue de Marseille, Aide Republique. I can't wait to see you.
What's the job?
Illustrations.
For calendars?
Yes. Want to see?
Oui. Vous voulez voir?
No time. I have the stairs to clean. I'll leave you to it. Bye.
Goodbye. Thanks.
I can't believe you're back.
The stocky, middle-aged woman leaves the apartment. Stéphane unzips his jacket and saunters through to a bedroom. There's a tall floor-to-ceiling window with a small balcony beyond by the bedside. Stéphane folds up an expandable clothes dryer and props it against a set of shelves, then gazes upwards. He sits on the bed and touches an alarm clock.
Come in, Action 2. Can you complete the mission?
In another room, he stares at a framed photograph of himself. He rearranges the plump figures of a band with sombreros around the photo. In yet another room, he switches on the light. He looks at the back of a photograph pinned to a wall and sees nothing on it. There are other framed photographs on the wall of a woman surrounded by children. The room is packed with cardboard tubes and coloured cellophane papers in boxes. Stéphane takes a purple suit from a wardrobe, examines it, then checks himself in a mirror wearing it. It seems a little tight as he stretches his arms towards the ceiling. Stéphane finds an electric razor in the right-hand jacket pocket. Later, he lays the suit and his boots on his bedroom floor in the shape of a sleeping man. Stéphane, in shorts and T-shirt, hops into bed. He pulls up the candy-striped blanket and looks around the room. Stéphane finds a cord and pulls it. It leads to a mallet on the wall. The mallet rises, then falls to hit the light switch by the door. Day. Stéphane, wearing his floppy woolen hat, runs along the street carrying a bag and the portfolio. He stops outside La Treille. Inside.
Stéphane.
It's your first day here. You've got to choose sides. So, two possibilities. A couple of fags.
He indicates across the room.
How can we be gay if we're opposite sexes?
A matter of mentality. I'm Guy, ex-battleship salesman, film satyr and lady killer. I'll show you the ropes.
I can do that too. I'm Martine. I'm in charge of the very popular ski weekend.
Serge, Martine's assistant, the ski weekend is excellent for team spirit.
Ski? No, sorry. Ski to me, no thanks.
Guy, wearing Stéphane's woolly hat, bounces up and down, then crosses to a drawer. He removes a calendar.
It's boring, but it's easy. The calendar has two parts. The bottom, the months, and nude girls.
Slowly.
Guy points to a nude's crotch.
A redhead with a big bush. We don't do this part. We do the boring bit. The name of the cretin who sends out this crappy calendar. So, when you get a file, you open it.
Stéphane scowls as Guy holds a scrap of paper.
This text comes from the typesetting machine.
Typesetting?
This revolting machine is a typesetter. This, glue.
Stéphane watches blankly as Guy witters on. Stéphane turns to Guy.
No. No, but...
My mother told me. She said that my job is...
Do you speak Spanish?
No, hombre, hola. No, 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 no parla todo españolito, du tout. No, no.
English, very well.
Oh, good,
yes,
good.
Yes, picture one is a duck.
Me too. A, B, C, D, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, I, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Am I not supposed to assign the new calendar collection?
No.
Fucking artist, he won't last.
Because my mother, she told me that this was a creative job, and this doesn't look creative at all.
No.
You know, I think there's some misunderstanding.
Can I see?
Guy opens the portfolio. Martine and Serge edge closer to see.
Oh, well.
Well,
I tell you what. Take the portfolio and let's talk to the big boss here, okay?
Yeah.
Collection is crap anyway.
Welcome in this palace, Stéphane.
Merci. Stéphane is a great artist with a foreign accent. He'd like to suggest something.
What about this ski weekend? Did you put him on the list? You see, Stéphane, it's very, very important to stimulate the team spirit.
So, Courchevel or Maribel?
Courchevel?
Maribel?
No.
Maribel? Courchevel?
You should show him your work.
Beat it.
Screw you.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's still a bit of a work in progress. I've done 12 paintings.
They're a riot of colour.
Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We will be reaching Paris Charles de Gaulle in 6 hours and 45 minutes. Please enjoy the flight. Fasten your seatbelts. And if you have any questions, please don't...
The first is of an exploding plane in midair.
The pilot will never finish the sentence. Flight 800, on July 17th, 1996, disappears from the sky, spraying its 230 passengers all over the North Atlantic. The whole world is in shock.
Mexico City, September.
September. Quiet morning, just like any other morning. A huge earthquake rattles the center of the town. Each month has its own most infamous disaster event engraved in the collective memory. It's a concept I've been trying to work on and developing. It's called this astrology.
Stéphane, you are not serious.
Oh, I am very serious. It's the customer that needs a little bit of a sense of humor.
My customers don't have any sense of humor.
Astrology.
They want puppies, drugs, flowers, or nudes. That's all. Oh, come on, Gear. Show him his work. It's getting late.
Look at yourself. It ain't the pampas here.
Come on, Stéphane.
Pouchet studies Stéphane's chin.
You shave with toast? What shave toast?
Stéphane uses the electric razor.
Ow.
Having nicked himself with it, he feels his chin, examines the razor, blows on it, then tries again.
Ow!
He throws it down, then steps back as the razor wriggles about on the bathroom floor. Night, shadows loom. Stéphane's in bed. From a drawer, he takes a photo of Pouchet and places it in a pan on the stove. On the Télévision Éducative set, he sautés the photo with butter and onions. On the screen behind him, blurred images. He opens a plastic curtain. Stéphane is at Latreille's cutting and pasting little pieces of text. His hands start to grow bigger, making the job difficult, and sheets of paper float around the office. Serge walks over to Stéphane, whose hands are now enormous. Guy joins them.
No, I need a little break.
Stéphane raises his huge hands and casts Guy aside. He grabs Guy's crotch, then places both hands around Serge, enveloping him. He flings Serge into Guy, then finds Pouchet with Martine.
What about you, Catan Palenque? Get out!
Stéphane removes the razor from his pocket. It's grown legs and the cord dangles like a tail. Martine presses herself back against the wall as the razor climbs up Pouchet's desk and leaps on him. Pouchet's on the floor. The razor heads for his moustache. As it backs away, Pouchet's moustache, hair and beard grow long and grey. The razor returns to Stéphane's pocket. The hirsute Pouchet rises. Rebuked, Pouchet hangs his head, opens the window, and leaps out into the surreal cardboard city. No! Stéphane rushes to the window and looks down to see Pouchet pushing a trolley load of carrier bags like a vagrant. In Pouchet's office, Stéphane opens his overgrown portfolio. He flings the paintings one at a time to Martine, who catches them and pins them to the walls. Then he sits in Pouchet's chair, with his feet on the desk. He springs to his feet, lays Martine on the photocopier, simulates sex with her, then switches the machine off. He skips back to the desk, kicks the chair, and dances by the open window. Stéphane pulls himself out of the window and starts to fly through the air over the city. He flies over the rooftops. The cardboard pop-up city below him rises and falls as he passes. The Stéphane in bed's eyes flicker as the TV studio Stéphane opens blinds.
7:30.
Stéphane, now awake, picks up the phone.
Hello?
You okay, honey? How was yesterday?
Are you trying to mock me on the air? A creative job, is that what you call it?
Did it go badly?
My job is shit. A piece of shit. Mum, I glue paper in a basement all day.
Your paintings?
They don't need a graphic designer.
But Pouchet said...
No, not true. Not true.
No, no, pas vrai, pas vrai.
You lied to get me back here. I won't stay another day.
That's not nice. Come see us on Wednesday. Big hugs, darling.
No, Mum. Mama. Mama.
In the TV studio, Stéphane turns to see his mother, a mousy-haired woman, sitting beside him. He leads her to the open dream shower curtains.
See how cute you were.
Excuse me for this...
He turns to look at the screen behind him.
Yeah, that's my
father. A young Stéphane in striped pyjamas bounces off his bed. He flings himself at his father and puts his arms over his shoulders. The two of them lie on the bed doing bicycle kicks. Later, they're at a work desk, where his father is soldering. He works on an electromagnet, and a little bulb goes on and off. The young Stéphane, with floppy hair, stares at the camera. Stéphane sits up in bed as a shelf collapses and a drill bit pokes through the wall. Next door...
Whoa, whoa!
Oh, shit!
What are you doing?
I've gone through.
The mezzanine goes on this wall.
No, head pointing north. It's feng shui. Isn't that north?
And the door? You come in, hit a beam. None of your sushi crap. You're a danger with a drill.
On a street, a man and woman step from side to side in unison, trying to pass each other. Stéphane's in his TV studio.
PSR. Parallel, synchronized, random...
Letters spin.
An interesting brain rarity. And...
He holds two dolls.
Two people... walk in opposite directions at the same time, and then they make the same decision at the same time. Then they correct it, and 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 then they correct it. Basically, in a mathematical world, these two little guys will stay looped for the end of time. The brain is the most complex thing in the universe, and it's right behind the nose. Fascinating! I'm sorry about this. Stay calm. I think that's just that they're renovating the studio.
He runs to the door. On the stairs, Stéphane meets two guys carrying a piano.
Wait, my back. I'm carrying all the weight.
Is your end heavier?
Yeah, the deep notes are always heavier.
Go past, mister, if you like.
Stéphane squeezes past. The guy at the bass, Sylvain, struggles.
My end's heavier.
The piano slips and Stéphane grabs hold of it.
Okay, you got it or not? Oh, thanks, mister.
Spread-eagled beneath the piano, Stéphane loses his grip. An attractive young woman with long dark hair, Stéphanie, runs onto the landing as the piano tumbles down the staircase.
Jeez, who's that guy you brought?
Stéphanie looks at Stéphane, who's holding his wrist.
You okay? You hurt yourself?
The piano crashes onto the street, followed by Ivana and the removal men.
Look at the mess you made. You're not professionals. I don't believe it.
Stéphane's with his neighbours.
Does it hurt now?
Oui.
Okay, and here?
Oui.
Yes, a little. No, I don't have much lucky in the current.
Stephanie and the girl who was drilling. Zoe, who has short fair hair, looks puzzled.
What?
No, my French is pathetic.
You are Spanish, no?
No, I'm from Mexico, but my mother is French. Huh? Yeah, I just came here because my father died of cancer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that looks pretty bad.
Got some cream, Stephanie?
Maybe over there.
I'll get it.
Do you think I have to go to the hospital?
Zoe finds some anti-odor spray. Stephanie points at the wall.
Thanks for the hole. My asshole landlady's next door.
Screw her.
What's that? No.
It's good.
Very funny.
Zoe taps the spray can.
Good stuff for you.
She sprays his grazed hand.
Okay. It's strong.
It's mint.
Zoe tears some cloth.
Yeah, I feel it working already.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Voila.
She binds his hand.
So what's your name?
Stéphane.
Stéphane? Mm-hmm. Stéphanie? Stéphane, Stéphanie, Stéphanie, Stéphane. Click, click, catch, match. She has no boyfriend.
That's enough.
And you?
Zoe. You know, Stéphanie is a talented composer.
Oh, really?
You should hear what she makes.
That's bullshit. I never play it.
You know, a pretty girl with talent that deserves to be mentioned.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
And what's your job?
I'm a promotional calendar maquettist. Yeah, it's a job.
Where... You're pretty cool for...
The two guys, Sylvain and Persinet, come in with a piano helped by two cops. Stéphanie clears a space for the piano by the wall.
It's better parked.
The cop pulls tape off the lid and opens it.
OK, we'll see.
The cop plays the piano.
Forget C major. He's busted.
I'll try C minor. It's sadder.
Major chords won't work.
Sylvain looks around.
Congratulations. Great.
Quiet. He's hurt.
Oh, yeah.
That's typical from Sylvain. He asks you to help and then he lets you do all the work.
I am sorry.
Let's go. Use the brake next time.
Bonne journée.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
So, what does it mean exactly, promotional calendar maquettiste?
Maquettiste. It's, I don't know. I don't know, it's like, I don't know, it's really boring, actually. But, I mean, there's one profession I really want to pursue, which is inventor.
Inventing what?
Well, I can show you. I have some glasses. You can see real life in 3D.
Isn't life already in 3D?
No, but, yeah, but, come on. I mean, like, do you wanna try? Yeah?
This, for example.
He holds up a picture.
Look.
Zoe looks at it through the cardboard specs with cellophane lenses.
Works. No?
Yeah. Tiens, regarde ça, c'est marrant.
Look, it's funny.
Stephanie tries them on and looks at the cartoon picture.
You know Pulfrisch, the guy who discovered the 3D effect? He had only one eye. And that makes him like the Beethoven of the stereo, you know?
They all grin.
And what do you girls do?
Are you students or work?
No, we're
creative executives. We're going to concerts and we find bands to sign.
To sign what?
Oh, she means that we're working in music.
Ah, what company?
Aristotle.
Like, as the turtle, no?
No, like the philosopher.
Stephanie looks sternly at Zoe.
Stop it, it's not funny.
He doesn't understand.
Don't make fun of people in my home.
I'm gonna go. But merci beaucoup.
Thanks a lot for the hand. And sorry for the piano.
Stéphane walks to the door.
How do you know Sylvain?
Sylvain?
Yeah.
From Mexico?
Oh, Mexico?
Yeah.
He never said anything about it.
No, I don't know why. Bye-bye.
You want us to drive you back?
No, I'm okay.
Bye.
Ciao.
With your stupid lies, we look like two dumb bitches.
It'd be cool to be an art director. We get into gigs free and get paid, too.
Gigs are boring. You put me to shame.
What?
Serge, Guy, Martin and Stéphane go to lunch.
To school. Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe rain, maybe snow. Okay, baby.
Let's go to Momo's as usual.
What do you weigh?
£110.
Come here.
Don't start again, Guy.
Guy picks up Serge and dumps him in a bin.
Don't screw around. Get me out. Come on, it's on me.
Who are the fags?
We're not going to wait for them.
No. Martine calls after Guy.
Hold his hand, too.
And you just watch.
Next time I'll leave you in the trash, weakling.
Momo's then?
No, I'll eat alone.
Stefan sits in a park with Guy.
No, I can't believe that my mother lied about the job just to get me over here. It's completely unethical to do that to your own son. It's horrible. It's the worst job I've ever had in my life.
He bites a sandwich.
Your predecessor? He committed suicide 2 weeks ago.
No.
No. I'm joking. No, he left after 2 weeks. Come on, man, just get along with the job and we'll have some fun. You think Martin is pretty?
Martin from work?
No, Martin's got Susan. Yeah.
I don't think about that.
Well, imagine. If she comes and gives you a blowjob in the dark room, you know, I can arrange this for you.
So getting laid is all that matters? It doesn't matter who the person is?
You see, I'm not a creative person like you. I don't feel the need to leave a trace behind me. Except a fart sometimes.
Stefan walks away.
Oh, sorry. It escaped me. Come on. You know, the other day I saw an old man on the bench. He was smiling, you know, really happy. You know what he was thinking of?
They walk.
His grandchildren?
Not at all. If you don't know, don't improvise, man. No, he was thinking about, you know, all the dirty stuff and naughty stuff he did with the girls when he was young.
How do you know that? Did you ask him?
I know that because this man was me in the future and I was happy. Simply want to be like him in my old days.
They walk up steps.
You know, I have this neighbor that has a friend that is very pretty, actually.
Oh, good reason to stay, my man. Be careful, you know, with the whole neighbor situation.
That's a problem that I think it's the neighbor that likes me, not her friend. Yeah.
Danger.
I never get the one I like anyways.
No, maybe she's a good cook.
Stefan's about to enter his apartment building when Stefanie comes out with a laundry bag.
Stefan? Did you forget something?
No, I was just, you know, my hand, because I can...
Are you looking for Zoe? She's not here. She doesn't live here, you know?
Oh, okay.
How's your dad? Oh, your hand.
Oh, my dad's still dead.
Sorry,
No, I know.
God, I'm so dumb.
You want Zoe's number?
No, I think I'm fine.
So I guess I'll be on my way now.
Okay.
Bye.
Ciao.
Stefanie struggles off down the street with her bulging laundry bag, then turns back.
I'll do my laundry later. Maybe I should check this hand of yours.
Okay, well, yeah, it's better to be safe than sorry.
They go in.
Prevention's better than cure.
A bird in the hand
is worth my bush.
Sorry, it's not funny.
No, I think it's funny. I mean, it's not that funny. I mean, it's not funny, but I find it funny.
Upstairs.
Come in.
Stefan follows Stefanie into her apartment and looks around.
Wow. It's still chaos.
She points to wooden batons up on the wall in a corner.
I'm going to put my bed up there to save some space. How do you call it, sir? Mezzanine?
Mezzanine.
Stefan sees some toy horses on the piano.
Did you make those?
Some I made and others I adopted. You have to find who.
A tatty horse made of fabric.
You made this one?
Nope.
What's his name?
His name is, Golden the Pony Boy. When I found him, he was so sad that I had to buy him for a lot. He's never going to leave me now.
Really? I mean, I understand that you're the mother, but you also have to think of his interests.
Yeah, it's possible. But he's already damaged. I can't take any chances. Let me see your hand.
She clears the stuff off the couch and they sit.
You know, it started to smell like a foot.
It's a good sign.
She unwinds the makeshift blue bandage, grinning, then wiggles his fingers about.
Can you move it?
Yeah, well, it hurts a little bit, but okay.
She compares.
I have two big hands.
Yeah? That means you have a large penis. No, I'm sorry, that was a bit inappropriate.
Look, I'll show you a trick. It's a brain effect. You have to do this.
Okay.
He rubs the edge of both their fingers.
Ah! It feels so weird. It feels like if it wasn't my hand. Ah! I know one that you have to you have to put your two fingers like this, and then you look into the distance like that. All you can see is a little
sausage. Yeah, I know it. It's a good one.
Oh, you know it?
Mm.
He presses two fingertips together and wiggles them.
Look,
a model boat.
I made this boat in fabric. I have to put it in a small forest as a setup. And the boat is looking for its mère, it sounds like both mother and sea in French.
So the forest inside the boat? That's genius. That's like a vegetable Noah's Ark.
No. The boat is in the forest looking for his mare. But I need to make the trees, though.
Ah. Okay, but you know, the forest inside the boat, that's a really good idea. I think that maybe you want to do that instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll do it. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Okay, so I'll go get my dad's old camera and we can make an animated film of the forest inside the boat looking for its mother.
Oh, and the leaves grow and the wind catches in them and then the boat takes off. And you'll make the sea, okay?
Okay, yeah, well, we can do it with layers of paper like this. You know, like this, and they move in opposite directions, you know?
They move their hands.
Yeah. Yeah, but we have to find something more special then. Kind of retarded in a way. Look.
She leads him into the kitchen and turns on the tap. Wiggly pale blue cellophane water pours out. They both smile.
Cellophane.
Yeah, like a Russian animated film. My mother, she collects thousands of bonbon wrapping paper and also cardboard tubes. We've got boxes full of them at home.
What for?
Well, she used to do this arts and crafts thing and many other projects, but she never finished them. Yeah, I actually can't stand it. She never finishes it.
And look, for the clouds.
Oh, yeah.
She throws cotton wool.
Oh, no. No, try it again. Wrong chord. No, wrong chord. Try it again.
The cotton wool floats.
I knew it! Aha! I knew it! Each structure has its own resonant frequency. You just have to hit the right chord at the right time. Okay, I'll go get the camera and you go, you do the forest.
Whoa. By the time you get back, I'll be sleeping. And I need to finish the boat anyway. And you bring the camera next time, okay?
Okay, well, you tell me when to bring the camera, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'm leaving.
I'll start the forest tomorrow.
All right.
At the door.
Merci.
Bye.
She kisses both his cheeks. Holding his little case, he walks across the landing, then stops. Stéphanie smiles.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
He walks down the stairs. The hall light goes out. Stéphane creeps back up the stairs wearing his multicoloured woolly hat. He unlocks his front door, which is opposite Stéphanie's front door, nervously glancing across the landing as he does so. Wearing black boxer shorts and a white T-shirt, Stéphane creeps into his bathroom. He undresses and gets into a bath full of foamy water. He reaches forward and turns off a tap. He slowly leans back and relaxes, resting his head on the edge of the peach-coloured bath. The foamy water gently laps against his chest. Martine emerges out of lots of shiny pieces of cellophane in the bath, which is now set into Pouchet's desk at work. Naked, she leans towards Stéphane and covers him in kisses.
No, Martine, no. I'm sorry, I can't. It's not you, it's me. I feel guilty.
What is it, Stefano?
I can't live all my life hiding in my apartment. I need to come clean.
You are clean.
Aristotle? Okay, type this. Dear Stéphanie.
Dear Steph.
I am...
Who is she?
Forget about it, I need to write it in French anyway. Okay.
Cher Stephanie.
Dear Stephanie, I weigh Ulche.
Martin tries to look at his writing.
I weigh Ulche, dear neighbour.
Martin reclines and blows cotton wool in the air.
Yes, you read it good. I have lady next door. I'm too confuse, in fact, with my hand accidented on the piano and lied you. Feel myself guilty. I want confess.
By the way, do you have Zoe's phone number? Thanks. Stefan.
He leaps out.
Where are you going now?
Naked, he walks out of the apartment.
Stefanou?
With pieces of cellophane stuck all over his body, Stefan slips his letter under Stefanie's front door. Stefan gets back in the cellophane bath, then sits up with a start in the foam bath. He anxiously pulls his knees under his chin. He glances round. There's a notepad and a pen on the side of the bath. Stefan frowns heavily, then notices wet footprints leading out of the bathroom across the wooden floor to his front door.
No.
Stefan goes and opens his front door and looks at the floor. More wet footprints. He runs to the bathroom and gets a robe, puts it on, then creeps out of his apartment holding a wire coat hanger. He gets on all fours and pokes the coat hanger under Stefanie's front door. He retrieves a piece of paper from under the door, opens it, and reads.
I too confuse, in fact, with my hand accidented.
Do you have Zoe's phone number?
Holy fuck.
In bed.
Dear Stephanie, comma, I am just your neighbour. There is nothing more to say than that. This is the reason why I'm writing a letter to you. Because I feel really bad inside my stomach. It's a mix between, I don't know if what I feel is a bit of nostalgia or wanting to go to the bathroom. I am just a new liar in your life. A new liar that has come and destroyed your piano. And maybe by doing that, destroyed a huge heritage. I want us to start a new start and a new black page of friendship. And if you can embrace that the same way as that I've been embracing it right now, that I'm feeling it right now, and that I see the possibilities once we go above that threshold of life and matters that succumb and become trickling down into this little pond that is called life.
Full stop. The end.
In a cave, a typewriter with spider's leg tentacles finishes the giant manuscript, which Stefan runs off with. At work...
2:37 p.m. as of this afternoon. Late is the same as absent.
We must tell Pouchet, right, Guy?
Qu'est-ce t'en penses, Guy?
Restless, Guy sits at a table, takes a document from a pile and opens it. Serge looks at him.
C'est très démotivant de...
Mistakes shouldn't go unpunished.
Guy ignores Serge and sniffs his armpit.
Je comprends pas pourquoi, mais...
Why do my armpits smell like sperm? Very strange.
He suddenly grabs Serge and forces his face up under his armpit.
What do you think?
Serge breaks free and marches to Pouchet's office.
Guy's making me smell the sperm.
Pouchet emerges, then glances back.
Excuse me.
Pouchet strolls towards Guy.
Guy?
Guy, what makes you think you can do that?
Guy points at the typesetting machine.
No one else can work this shitty machine.
And Stefan?
Ignoring Pouchet, Guy slowly walks to his desk and sits.
Okay.
Stefan swims over the rooftops of the pop-up cardboard city with the manuscript under his arm. He floats towards a high roof with a revolving disc on it and sets himself down. On one side of the disc is inscribed Aristotle Records. The derelict building is a mere shell. He leaps down through the non-existent roof and lands by a wardrobe. He picks up an unconnected phone. There are posters on the peeling walls. He stomps on the vinyl records littering the floor. Still clutching the huge manuscript, he runs out into a forest, then leaps through Pouchet's open window. He runs through to the outer office and slams down the manuscript.
Damn!
Stephanie and Zoe lied to me! They are not creative executives, no! I settled my ass! They think I'm stupid, but nuh-uh! You guys are gonna help me find them, okay?
Martin?
Allo, oui?
Stefan needs you.
Okay.
We've got to find a way
out.
No, it's only a dream. We don't have to work in dreams.
No, nothing is for real.
You're right.
You're just the result of a chemical flux in my brain, that's all.
Do you mean we don't really exist?
Flux?
Stéphanie is with Zoé.
Start again, you've lost me.
Well, I was sleeping, dreaming of a praying mantis fighting with a turtle. But the turtle had a silver shell like a CD, but in a hump, a shell, and they fought over an elephant.
Not that. Tell the next part.
So I wake up because I hear a freaky sound at the front door. I turn on the light.
This is my favourite bit. Stéphane, who twisted his hand, is butt naked in the hall.
Stéphanie peeps through the spy hole in her door.
Stéphane, who helped you move in, is your neighbour.
My landlady's son.
Okay, but tell me, remember the letter? What did it say?
I told you, it was gobbledygook. It went, I'm your neighbour, a liar, blah, blah.
By the way, do you have Zoe's number?
What did he mean?
What do you think? Neighbour, you're swell, but your friend rings my bell.
No way. Why doesn't he know you know he's your neighbour?
Behind the door, Stéphanie places the letter on the coat hanger.
He doesn't know I read it. Straight after, Cap and Hook got it back. A change of heart.
Holy fuck.
But why did he lie about his address?
Why did you lie about the job? Look, I'll give him your number. You ask him.
I've got a guy, remember?
You tease others.
How dare you say that? I'm no prick tease. You take that back.
Their boss appears.
If you can't stop fighting, don't be friends. Stéphanie, stock taking.
We're exchanging ideas, not fighting. Big difference.
In the apartment, they scour a phone book for the name Mirou. Zoé dials the number on a cordless phone. Stéphanie climbs on the sofa and listens at the wall.
It's ringing.
Zoé thrusts out the phone.
Go on, take it. Take it.
Stéphanie takes the phone.
Stéphanie?
Zoé listens at the wall.
Did you finish that bottle?
No, of course not. I still have some stuff to buy.
In French, it's more fun.
I'm with Zoé, and we were wondering if you had any other optical illusions.
Opticlish illusions?
Optical tricks.
I can show you one. I got this really cool one. When?
When? Now?
Okay, now. It'll take me like 35 minutes to get there.
He's got nerve.
Maybe I can make it in 15.
Yeah, okay.
Zoé holds up a dress on a hanger.
It matches your green eyes.
Bullshit.
You can't wear the same jeans for ages.
I look ridiculous.
No.
Zoé runs to the spy hole in the door. She sees Stéphane open his door and step out onto the landing. Stéphanie has a look. Then Zoé shoves her out of the way.
He's going down.
What a dumbass.
Through the peephole, they can see the light going on in the hall and Stéphane climbing the stairs. Stéphanie opens her door.
Hi.
Hi.
You were quick.
Yeah. I brought you this.
So, basically, with guards, what we do, I mean, because it's kind of difficult, and the cards are there, the cards do not lie, you know, it cannot change. Mm-hmm. So, if you grab the cards and you open them and you name one card and I point at it from a distance, okay?
But remember to send it to me, you know, before you name it. Send it to me. Name it, send, name, send, name, send.
Okay.
She's wearing a skateboard helmet, he a cycling helmet, joined together by a flex.
8 of hearts.
Okay. Yeah, I received it. It's there.
Yeah.
She has cards in each hand.
Wow. Did you see that?
Amazing.
Try another one.
As the pick.
Ace of spades. Is
that... He points at the full pack.
Yeah.
In a bar.
1, 2, 3.
They down their shorts and pick up a glass of beer each.
Hey, bottoms up.
Stefan spots Guy come into the bar.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing dressed like that?
Guy is in a leather jacket with badges.
Who is this guy?
No, Zoe.
No, wrong address. Next door.
To Zoe.
I was told you were pretty.
Here's Guy. I work with him. We work together.
What?
Guy. He's punk.
So? What?
Not prick teasers, I hope.
No, we have sex, too.
Zoe dances seductively with the older, flabby Guy.
Does she always dance like that? Yeah. Yeah, she... Is it only when she gets a bit drunk, or is it always like that?
Do you mind?
No, I have no problem. I mean, I can't imagine how anybody would end up doing that with Guy, you know?
Hey, I composed this piece of music for your piano. You can play it all night. Try it.
It's called My Dear Neighbors.
Thank you. Sweet.
I hope you like it.
Guy strolls over to Stefan.
Hey. What are you doing?
What am I doing? You confuse me. So you like her or you like Zoe?
Man, I'm just talking to her. She's my neighbor. We're just friends. Don't you believe in friendship with the opposite sex?
No. She likes you, it's obvious. Don't play with her.
She's great, you know? She's really, really nice person, but she reminds me of my father.
What?
Yeah.
Stefan is dancing with a dark-haired woman. His movements are jerky. Zoe leads Stefanie out of the crowded bar. Stefan continues his twitchy dancing, keeping his hands away from his partner. Their heads draw close and their lips meet in a kiss. In her apartment, Stefanie's at the piano. Stefan's music is in front of her. Stefan's next door in his bed.
Stefanie.
He dreams.
Stefanie.
You're fired! Do you hear me?
You dogs, you're like the dogs that bite the hand of the owner that gives it birth. Since you betrayed me. You betrayed me.
Stefan wakes from his dream about being dragged backwards from the cave by Serge and Guy. He turns over and sees daylight streaming in through the window. He lies back on his blue pillows with trucks and buses printed on them. In his TV studio...
Televisione Educativa is back for you this evening for a new chapter. Love After 50. We have two very special guests on the show today. Gerard and Mum. Gerard. You are a professional magician. Yeah, you look old and you live in a small suburban house. Why do you think Mom chose you? Oh, yes, you're funny. Yeah.
Gerard does a trick with a cigarette.
Yeah. Do the tablecloth one.
Not tonight.
Go on.
Oh, shit, I told you.
He's whipped off the cloth and several glasses fall to the floor.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be the woman you cut in half.
It's not funny.
But all done.
The table's clear.
Okay, then.
The table's perfectly set for dinner.
Why didn't you go to work today?
I did.
Pouchet phoned.
I did, Mum. I worked all day, in my dream. I'm very tired.
Since he was 6, he's inverted dream and reality. He'd be in bed, vomit all over. Sure, his hands were like tower blocks.
Houses, Mum, not towers.
Dreams are very tiring. They have cycles. You got slow wave sleep, deep sleep, dream sleep.
Blah, 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 blah. Gerard, you're just a bullshit guru. Mom, why do you always fall for gurus? You think you will learn some deep truth about yourself? My dad was not a guru.
He must be in love.
Are you in love, Stéphane?
Have you met someone? He's at Stéphanie's door. He kisses her. She slaps him.
No. No. No.
Love extrapolates your REM.
Do you know what REM means?
Rapid eye monitronics.
Your eyes follow your dream movements. If you walk downstairs, say, your eyes go down. Turn right, the eyes go right.
A black and white animation of a figure walking in a brain.
It's in your dream. Your eyes are walking.
The eyes. I can control my eyes in my sleep. No more sleeping slavery.
A plastic straw is sellotaped to Stefan's left eyelid, which flickers. The straw is attached to a contraption attached to a recorder. It springs into action.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are approaching the moon. What? The moon? Yeah.
A model plane crashes into the moon. In Pouchet's office, Stéphane dances before his co-workers.
No gravitational force.
Bits of the moon float past the window. A volcano beside the city erupts, sending Martine, Guy, Serge and Stéphane staggering. It then implodes.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
Please, give us our... I mean, your world back. Tell us what to do. We'll do anything.
Well, just don't make me work like a slave all the time, okay?
Okay.
Okay, entendido?
Yeah, capito. Yeah. Master.
Okay. Capito, capito. Peace.
Okay. Okay.
Check.
Stéphane spreads his arms wide and little model trucks appear in the window. They scoot over the golden sand covering the city. Cranes appear as the trucks beaver away. As the cranes spin, Stéphane turns to his co-workers who all smile. High-rise buildings grow from nothing. Little tubes are cut on a production line and become cars and trains entering station Miroumenil. The whole train and road system, buildings, bridge supports, are made from cardboard tubes. A train crosses the Mirou Bridge.
Grace to you and to the new
world. No, stop that. Hey, no, 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 guys, no, stop that shit, okay? It's getting a bit creepy. Yeah.
Are we still making calendars? We are here to serve you.
Basically, I wanna see Stéphanie in my dreams.
I know. I will make your novel, I Am Just Your Neighbor, into a bestseller. That will attract her.
And then we'll organize a massive wedding. Mm-hmm. Madame Stéphanie Stéphane.
Stéphane sees a small man sticking up a poster in the model city.
Stéphane Mirou.
Yes.
Your novel, I Am Just Your Neighbor and a Liar. By the way, Do You Have Zoe's Number? Is a blockbuster.
Yeah.
Where does your genius end? Painting, sculpturing, architecturing, writering. Today, building has begun on Stéphane Mirou Foundation, uh-huh. A museum dedicated to your work. So, Stéphane Mirou, did you find the key to success?
Whoa, I think people empathize with what I do because it comes from here.
Oh, you are talking about Stéphanie.
I don't like to talk about my private life.
Stéphane Mirou, we have a little surprise for you to do.
No.
A song for her.
A song?
I'll keep you warm in winter.
Stéphane is still asleep, attached to his dream monitor. In his dream, he's dressed in a cat outfit. He joins Serge and Guy, similarly dressed, and sits down at the drum kit.
If you rescue me, I'll be your friend. Forever, let me be your bed. I'll keep you warm in winter. All the kitties are playing and they're having such fun. I wish it could happen to me. But if you rescue me.
Stéphanie sits watching a cardboard TV on which the trio perform the song A Cardboard Train Passes Her Window. Muttering it's a pain, she tries to change channel. The trio's on every one. She tosses a fabric model bird into the cardboard city and it flaps across it. Stéphane throws down his paintbrush drumsticks.
It's not working because you messed up the title of my book. You better be here when I come back. Okay, I'm exhausted. I'm gonna wake up.
Stephanie's at her door.
Hey! Stephanie! What a coincidence. I almost thought that I was gonna miss you. Would you like to marry me? Come on, I'll show you my friends. Hey, guys! Guys, let me present you to my future wife!
On the landing, he's in his suit, in the apartment, in his cat outfit. Stephanie's perplexed by his conduct.
One, I don't believe in marriage. Two, you don't want to be with me. And three, are you out of your mind?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I thought that I was...
Thought what?
I thought that I was here, and that I was working here, sleeping in my office, and then I came here, and then this part I don't remember very well. There were more people there, and then I saw you, but...
Where exactly are you living?
I'm staying with my mother right now.
Oh, so you're my landlord's son?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're okay, Stefan?
Yeah, why?
So you were not asking me for real, then?
No, to marry you, no. But... I like you.
You mean in a romantic way?
If you want to call it like that.
She clutches her bag to herself.
Come on, Stefan, I don't want to have a boyfriend.
Stefan, standing outside his apartment door, blinks and looks away.
Okay.
So now you'll act all weird around me because I don't want to...
No, it's not my fault, you know, if I have feelings. You just don't have to humiliate me.
Oh, come on, Stefan, stop acting like a child.
Long-faced, Stefan plods down the spiral staircase.
Stefan...
Stephanie, on the landing, peers over the railing. At La Treize, a morose Stéphane is hard at work when Martine comes over to him.
Something wrong? Will you manage all those files?
Serge joins them and rests a hand on Stéphane's shoulder.
A heart that sighs has not what it desires. Must be love.
Working is the best remedy, then. Keeps your brain busy.
How can you work? Love is too powerful. You can't concentrate.
Give him a break. He doesn't want to talk.
Tell her right away. If it's from your heart, she will understand.
I don't know.
Maybe the feeling's not mutual. Maybe she's with somebody.
Oh, merde.
Shit.
She's with somebody, Stefan?
Vous êtes vraiment des gros lourds.
You're so heavy, you two. Stefan, tell the compañeros they're so heavy-os.
Well, I don't understand you, Key. I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't understand you either. I can't understand you guys when you talk to me in two different languages. It makes me feel schizometric.
Stefan walks into a dark room. Guy removes a cartridge from the typesetter and follows him.
Schizophrenic, that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
Hey, don't pay attention to those losers. Just try to be a little more on time in the morning. They'll leave you alone.
Stefan reaches for a carton.
No. NPCs for film. CPN goes with CP.
He removes photographic paper from a second carton and places it in the light box. They feed the burnt-on image into a developing machine.
CPP. CPP, NPC, CP. I get confused. You know the goat on the cliff?
Goat on the cliff?
Yeah, goat on the cliff, you know? It's a sex position.
Well, man, I know it's hard for you to understand, but not every man is a sex maniac, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like every woman is romantic?
Well, I don't know, but...
Stefan is asleep in his TV studio. The fabric bird is on a perch. Stefan pushes a supermarket trolley over to Stephanie's mezzanine bed. She's lying on top of it.
I am collecting beautiful objects. A pair of shoes...
which he places in his trolley.
Some glasses.
A tiny cloth elephant is in a cage.
Telephone. Typewriter. They are made from wood and felt, with apparent stitches. Their delicate and finished appearance is friendly. They are quiet. Stephanie made them and I will expose them in an exhibition. Stephanie, do you think I could take the red blanket as well?
Of course, Stefan. Are you kidding?
There's this amazing blanket. It's thick red felt with big white stitches. Wild animals are running on it.
In the cave, Stéphanie lies on the mezzanine bed behind cotton bobbins. Stéphane loads the blanket into the trolley and crosses to her as she plays a knitting machine like a keyboard.
She smiles. I bend over a rock to try to reach her. And my stomach compressed. Hurts.
He lies on the grey rock which is by the bed. Eventually, he looks up.
Stéphanie?
She looks across at him.
Can you hold my hand? I cannot sleep.
She stretches out her hand. He grasps it.
She takes it. I fall asleep.
Night. Stéphane strides down the street on which he lives. He reaches the tall double doors of the apartment block. Inside, in shirt sleeves and carrying cardboard boxes, he stands outside Stéphanie's door. Wearing spectacles, she opens the door and smiles.
The scene.
She kisses his cheek. She disappears inside and returns with a twig.
Forest.
Grinning, he follows her into the apartment. He makes the sea from blue cellophane papers.
You should put more whites in.
Hmm?
You should put more whites.
Yeah?
She picks out some clear cellophane. The little boat is on the cellophane blue sea in front of a blanket with cotton wool clouds stuck to it.
No, a bit more to the left here.
Ah, yeah.
Randomness is very difficult to achieve. Organisation always merges back if you don't pay attention.
Death to organisation.
She rifles through the cardboard box.
Hey, what's this?
It's the...
Is it your mum's?
No, that's the one-second time travel machine I told you about. Yeah. I finished it. For you?
She removes the shoebox-sized machine.
You want to try it?
What are you going to do with 1 second?
Well, it just adds up, and life is too precious.
He picks up headphones.
So basically, you put this here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
He mouths at her.
Can you? Okay. So, it's just 1 second. This is for the past, and this is for the future. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So... Let's try some for the past. You have to press this button, okay?
The box flashes.
Let's try some for the past. Let's try some for the past.
Hey, it's working! Amazing scientific breakthrough. Scientific breakthrough.
Yeah. No, wait. Let's save some for the future.
He turns a cassette on the machine round.
Wait.
He flicks the switch. She presses the button and he hugs her.
Hey, what are you...
He hugs her again.
Why did you do it twice?
The first time is the future and the second one was just the present.
Oh, well, maybe we have different perspectives on the future.
No, this is just a machine. It's objective, it's just a machine.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not sure I should accept this gift. Why do I deserve a present anyway?
Because for the occasion that you're pretty.
Oh, shut up. You're sweet. So you think I'm only pretty? Like, I'm pretty and stupid?
Well, no, maybe you shouldn't have this.
No, this is my present. Okay, let's go back to work. The ocean's drying.
He spots a tattoo on her back.
Hey, look.
I'm just seeing that you have one thing.
Do you have something to say?
No.
Focus and concentration. Distraction is an obstruction to the construction.
Distraction is an obstruction for the construction.
At the piano.
Distraction is an obstruction for the construction. Distraction. Distraction is an obstruction for the construction. Distraction is an obstruction for the constructions. It's an obstruction for the constructions.
She constantly presses the time machine button.
Anarchy in the cellophane. Cellophane.
A model snow-covered mountain range. Stéphanie and Stéphane are on a ski lift.
What?
Skiing!
All models on the mountainside following thread tracks.
Oh, look! Hey, un lac en...
A sloping lake.
Un lac en pente. Weird, that's really weird.
Come on with your hair!
Yeah, be gentle!
Fucker!
Shh! No trash!
The goat on the cliff, remember?
Eh?
What's that?
the goat on the cliff?
It's a little children's story. It's silly. Don't listen to that. Don't listen.
His three co-workers are behind them.
You take her from behind on the side of the bed.
Oh, I'll try that.
You pigs, stop it!
Guy sets off down the slopes, followed by Martine, then by Serge. They leave Stéphanie and Stéphane on the summit. She kisses his cheek. She covers his face with kisses, then fully on the lips. The wheel of the ski lift turns behind them as they kiss passionately. Smoke rises around them.
I go first.
No, I don't know how to ski. I don't want to go. Stéphanie!
Courage, pretty boy.
She sets off. He's rooted to the spot. The ground splits between his feet. Stéphane wakes in his bed. He sits up. It's day. His feet are in a fridge at the bottom of the bed. His toes are frozen together. He thumps them on a blanket on the floor. He runs round in circles on the carpet, then trots into the bathroom. His pyjama legs rolled up, a sweater and scarf on top of his pyjama jacket. He sits on the edge of the bath, his feet immersed in water. He takes a thermometer from his mouth and checks it. Stéphane stands behind his front door and peeps through the spy hole as Stéphanie leaves her apartment. Hearing the sneeze, she looks at his door, then sets off down the stairs. He races to his bedroom window. Now wearing jeans and shoes, he steps out onto the tiny balcony, glances down at the street, then climbs the metal divider between his and her balconies. He cups his eyes as he peers in through a window in her apartment. He lets himself in and picks up Golden the pony from on top of the piano. In his own bedroom, he operates on the animal.
Wait, it's not gonna hurt. It's not gonna hurt.
As he operates, Golden's legs start moving.
Okay, good. Right. Good.
Hey, you take the glue gun and I'll try this.
No. Why don't we do the scene when you walk into the apartment and you discover the pony, yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah? Okay, so come on.
They're on the TV set.
It must be... Okay. Yeah, there.
Oh, wait.
All right. Okay, you're there. So, basically, you're just walking into the apartment and all of a sudden you discover that the pony can run and you feel very excited and... Ready? And action!
Damn it, Stéphane, you've ruined my pony! Why did you do that?
Cut! What are you doing? No, you should be ecstatic about me. You should be, like, praising my engineering genius.
Oh, of course, my handsome...
No, don't play with me. No, this is never gonna happen.
How do you know?
Because I know. Well, you're trying to give me hope.
No, but maybe you should try.
Try. Well, next time I see you, I'll kiss you? Is that what you're asking me?
I mean,
really?
Yeah, you should try.
I should just go out there and kiss you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Go on.
It's dark when Stéphane, clutching Golden, creeps back into Stéphanie's apartment just as she enters. He dives on the bed as she switches on the light.
What are you doing?
No, I'm sorry. Could you just pretend that you didn't see me? I was just leaving.
This is stupid. You broke into my place?
I'm sorry.
What are you looking for?
I'm sorry.
That's creepy. No, this way.
He walks away from the window.
Good night.
Oh, I forgot my keys.
He strides out onto the balcony. Stéphanie has a cursory glance around the room, then walks over to the open windows and looks out. Stéphane is lying on his bed with a pillow over his head. He picks up the phone.
Hello?
Stéphane? Are you okay? I love my pony. I can't believe you did that. How did you do it?
Stéphanie leans back on her bed.
I'm sorry about what I said. I didn't mean one word.
Oh. No, I'm a creep. Just like you said.
Listen, Stéphanie. You have to toughen up a little. It's not attractive for a girl to see a guy cry.
That all sucks.
You know I named Gilbert the Pony Boy after you?
No, come on. Come on. It's not true. You had him before we met.
No, it is true. I improvised his name when you saw him for the first time. He didn't have a name. Now tell me how you did it. Golden is galloping for real. It's unreal.
Well, it's just an application of a chaos theory. Random control. Each leg has one engine, and it moves backwards or forwards depending on the movement of the other leg. It's like life, but in a simplified version. And it doesn't reproduce.
Golden's on the piano.
I'm glad we live next door to each other.
Would you marry me when we're 70? You've got nothing to lose.
Okay.
Would you mind keep on talking to me for a little while? Because I always thought it was possible to talk from my sleep. I feel that I'm falling down into a black hole.
You know that you could never see someone fall in a black hole? Because the image of the traveler who passes the horizon would slow down till it would remain stuck in the same position. The state he was when he crossed the line, only it's getting redder.
The traveler gets crushed into spaghetti. I don't want to be a spaghetti. I don't want to be a spaghetti.
No, you won't be a spaghetti.
I don't want to be a spaghetti.
Stefan? Are you here?
No, I'm there. I'm there. It worked. I'm not a spaghetti.
Tell me. Describe all you can see.
I feel some grass under my feet. And it's a bit windy. And cold. And damp. And there's forest all around me. I can see Golden the Pony Boy, galloping here, right in front of me. And I can hear some water, but I cannot see it. Oh, here it is, the river.
Is the water made of millions of tiny pieces of cellophane?
No, it's real water. Oh, look, I just found the time machine. The time machine is here.
The river's flow changes direction.
Sometimes I see opposite of what I mean.
In his dream, Stefan keeps changing the river's flow. Stefan is asleep in bed, the phone to his ear.
Stefan, are you
at an exhibition?
Stephanie, you know my mom? Christine?
He's shy. He only speaks French to me.
Yeah, I cannot talk French because whenever I speak, I feel that my mustache grows more than when I speak Spanish.
His mother kisses Stefanie.
Let me kiss you. You're a good person. You sure, Mrs. Mirou? He said nothing bad about me. No, nothing. I choose my tenants carefully.
They look at his disasterology artwork.
So, what do you think?
I adore it.
Really? I always found it rather strange.
Well, that's what's good.
I like the colours.
Unusual.
His artwork is now a calendar.
Not very cheerful.
Boucher's on his feet. He glares at the drummer behind him.
6 months ago, a stranger came to see me with a terrible accent and a dumb project. The world and myself weren't ready for it. We've leaped forward into absurdity, and I regret to say our new calendar, Disasterology by Mr. Stéphane Mirou,
La Disastrologie de Monsieur,
is a huge success.
Est un énorme succès.
Stéphane stands in front of the audience. He glances at his mother.
In French?
No, in English, Mum.
I want to dedicate this to all the victims.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
His mother and Gérard applaud as Pouchet leads Stéphane off a podium. At the party, his co-workers are enthusiastic. Zoé is with Stéphanie. Stéphane places his hand on hers. She removes it without looking at him. Stéphane gazes up at her through dark sheepdog eyes. Zoe and Guy are dancing when Stéphane strolls into the room, draining his glass. He spies Stephanie across the room. Her back to the wall, she's deep in conversation with a guy. She slinks down and up the wall to the music. Stéphane steps up for a closer look. He and Stephanie watch the party from the TV studio. Stéphane slumps on the studio sofa in a sulk, and Stephanie turns to him.
I'm sorry. Are you upset?
He sits with his arms folded. At the party, he's at the bar as Stéphanie and the young man dance. Outside on the street, Stéphane's mother and Gérard quarrel. Stéphane guzzles beer from the pump. He wipes his mouth with his sleeve as Stéphanie and the young man dance close together. Stéphane watches in the TV studio. In the bar, he drinks more, then keels over. Guy rushes to him, and he and Serge help Stéphane to his feet. He's with Stéphanie in a hotel bedroom.
This girl is at once all the woman that broke my heart. She is so beautiful and generous, and she's asking me to leave. Because she is dumping me. She is dumping me because I am a cheap drug dealer. And I am a drug dealer because she wants to leave me. The police are going to get me now. This is all my fault.
He sees a cardboard police car pull up by the hotel. Stéphane grabs two tubes of cardboard, hugs Stéphanie, pushes her on the bed, then runs out. A man with long blonde hair enters the room. Stéphane stops on the stairs when he sees two cops in reception. He runs back to the room where the blonde-haired man who is Guy is comforting Stéphanie, who is now also blonde. The two uniformed cops are Serge and Martine. They climb the stairs as Stéphane opens the window and leaps out onto a low roof below it. Stéphane clambers down over a bed which looks like his and stops by a cardboard bubble car. He smashes its window and leans in. The two cops race back downstairs. Stéphane is in the car. He sets off down a narrow lane but is stopped by another police car driven by Gérard. He turns about and drives off, only to be confronted by Serge and Martine.
Oh, damn.
He about turns, comes face to face with Gérard, then heads for the wall.
He is my opposite. She feels safe.
He reverses.
She's in love with...
Stéphane rams the wall. He goes through the windscreen. At home, he's helped into bed by Stéphanie. Stéphane buries his head in the pillow. Stéphanie sits beside him, watching him. She rises, takes off her coat, and sits down again. Stéphane rolls over onto his back. Stéphanie leans close to his ear.
Things will turn out the way you want. If you could just stop doubting that I love you. Call me home, next door. Toot.
In the bedroom, his hand is on her arm. In the lane, Stéphane's arm hangs limply as he lies half in and half out of the bubble car. In his room, he wakes. He flexes his hand as he sits up, hearing voices. He spots a suitcase and a coat in the living room and pops his head round the door. His mother is with Ivana.
That needs an explanation. Look who's woken up. Have a drink. Your mum's feeling down. She needs comforting. She's moving back in. That calls for a drink. Come on.
Stéphane slinks back into his room.
Not exactly a triumph.
Stéphane leaves the apartment. He strolls along the riverside. He visits Guy.
La ville était tout habillée en dimanche et en soleil. Un soleil frais.
It's not fair. She changed exactly the second I started to like her. It's like the Big Bang. You know, the first instant it's very small and then the next nano instant, huge, infinite. I wish I could travel back to the time when I didn't find her attractive.
Should have asked me about that. I'm a professional. She has a really good ass.
Shut up, Guy. I thought she was lonely and somehow I could help her, but no, she doesn't need me at all.
You know, I don't know Stephanie and all, but maybe she has a pattern. She doesn't want to get hurt, and by that she's hurting people. And by hurting people, she thinks she's not going to get hurt, but she gets hurt.
I don't know. I love her because she makes things. You know, she makes things with her hands. Mm-hmm. It's as if her synapses was married directly to her fingers.
Like that. He waggles his fingers.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I could talk to my dad. I miss my father. I cannot talk with my mom.
A TV news program.
It's outrageous to attack the hospital staff. Appalling.
Well, it's a big letdown for our charming nurses who go beyond the call of duty with a wet T-shirt contest.
Guy gets to his feet.
Asshole! Dumb asshole!
Guy unplugs the TV set and lifts it up.
Let's take our mind off it.
The TV.
You know, you can't let things bother you all your life. A man has to take matters in his hands. This TV is brainwashing my weekend. Should be out. Instead of this, I'm just watching this.
They walk back along the riverside, Guy still carrying the TV. Stefan slaps Guy's cheek. Guy resumes talking normally.
You want to fight?
I'm sorry. I wasn't sure I was awake.
Awake? I will awake you for sure if you carry on like this. Here, help me. Instead of being...
Stefan helps him carry the TV.
Over there. It'll make a better splash.
They're on a bridge. They toss the TV.
Are you crazy? It isn't a garbage dump.
TV's garbage anyways.
It is garbage, but that's no reason.
Maybe the fish enjoy that crap.
Really?
Yeah.
Stéphanie is sitting on the stairs outside her apartment. She looks up when Stefan comes out of his front door. He turns his back on her. He pulls on his woolen hat and tugs it down.
Stefan, wait. Do you feel better?
I'm going to work.
I'm just trying to know if you're okay.
Yeah, I'm super fine. Thanks.
So I get it. So you don't want to be my friend anymore?
No, I don't want to be your friend anymore. I don't want to be your friend anymore. Do I have to nail it on your door? I don't want to be your friend.
No, you can't. You can't stop being my friend. It's not something people can decide.
Oh, yeah, they can. People have an argument and then they stop talking to each other.
Okay, then let's have a date or something and we can talk about things if that's what you want.
What's the point? You'll just want me as your friend and then you'll have a really nice boyfriend and that'll kill me. By the way, where's the boat? Where's everything? I mean, let's face it, you'd never finish anything. Like the mezzanine and everything else.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true. I'll show you. You're manipulating me or I don't understand.
Look, she sits on the stairs.
Here it is, Zoe's number. That's what you want. Screw her. I'm only your neighbour and a liar. By the way, do you have Zoe's number? You remember the letter that night?
How did you get that? Wait, I'm sorry.
He stands facing her. She doesn't look at him. He places his hand on her face.
No, stop crying.
She lowers her head. Stefan gesticulates nervously with his hand. He pecks her gently on the cheek and puts his arms around her.
I'm sorry.
They hug each other. He bursts into the dark room.
Oh, hey. Did you see the red on, man? I'm doing your work.
I'm sorry. Hey, something amazing just happened between Stephanie and I.
Come on, shut up now.
Incredible.
Okay, stop bullshitting with her. I'm sick of breaking my balls with you. You know, I'm doing your work and you know why?
What?
Because you virtually fired my sleepy man and mother or not mother to cover your ass.
The office is boring. You can't leave me here. Stupid bitch.
Not stupid bitch.
No betas. Okay? You don't know what happens between us. Nobody has a fucking clue what happens between us and everybody has an opinion. Fuck that. I wrote her a letter in my dream and I never gave it to her. And she read it.
I don't know how, but she somehow read it. And she just recited it to me just now. Word by word, she knows it. And you know why? Because I think our brains are creating this loop that is incredibly complex. It's not as if our brains are communicating or telepathy or nothing like that. It's as if we were evolving each step into the same direction. It's called PSR, parallel synchronized randomness. It's incredibly rare. It's as if we were jigsaw puzzles, you know, and we're falling into the...
You will never date her, okay? She will drive you crazy. And don't believe me, Bordel, I'm
your
friend.
No, believe me. She just asked me for a date in 20 minutes at the Bar de L'Oreille. I have to go to minutes at the Bar de L'Oreille.
A light flashes.
What was that?
It's my travel time.
No, wait.
No, attends. You just walk in. Pusher didn't even see you, so you won't go anywhere.
Oh,
you
come on.
No.
Come on. It's just once. Okay, just this.
I'll cover for you.
He raises his voice so Martine and Serge outside the darkroom can hear him.
But if you don't screw her, or at least kiss her with tongues, a real French kiss, a tongue kiss, I won't speak to you again.
Okay. Stéphane kisses Guy's cheek and runs out.
Au revoir.
Guy strolls out of the darkroom to join Martine and Serge.
If he carries on, he'll leave before he arrives.
Maybe he works backwards.
He brags with his calendar.
I sent him on an errand, you fucking dykes.
Now, that's enough. Being called fags is one thing, but dykes is unacceptable.
You will never date her, okay? She will drive you crazy.
Drive me crazy.
I refuse to believe the only friendship from Stephanie. There are signs that can be mistaken.
Can't be mistaken.
In his TV studio.
Ah, she kisses me at less than a centimeter of my lips. It is a sign, the most evident, that she desires me. Where should she kiss to have a friendly goodbye? On the forehead? No. Halfway between the ear and the lips. That's what's considered normal. Besides, if I don't move my head back, she hits me right on the lips, huh?
Why did you move away from a kiss then?
Maybe I tried to kiss her. Who cares?
Yes. The point is that
she will torture me all my life. She simply doesn't care about me.
This is not true.
She cares a lot. She worships my presence. She feels sorry for me. Pity. That's the worst. Exactly. My feeling has reached the point of pathology, and I can't seduce anyone without pathology.
Running to the bar, Stéphane meets the hirsute Pusher.
Do you believe you can seduce her with your creepy, pathological little gifts? They all ended up in the trash, blinded by your arse in the bar with the bar. Nobody is waiting for you at the bar. Stephanie never came. Lost interest in you a long time ago. Following this is too late. Stephanie moved on. Stephanie moved on and will never change her mind. Girls never change their mind when it's over.
He runs from Pusher away from the bar where Stephanie is waiting. He climbs the stairs to her apartment door.
Open the door, I know you're there. Open the door! You forgot about me!
He stands with his head lowered.
Stop playing with me! I never want to see you again!
He stomps across the landing to his front door and unlocks it. He steps inside, then runs back across the landing to her door and headbutts it. He crumples to the floor and puts his hand to his head. Sitting alone in the cafe, Stéphanie puts on her coat and picks up her bag and a lit cigarette. She slings the bag over her shoulder and walks out, leaving an empty cup and teapot on the table. Stéphane is slumped on the landing beside Stéphanie's front door with his palm pressed against his forehead. He pulls his hand away and looks at it. There's blood matted in his hair and smeared over his forehead. Stéphane heaves himself up against the door and leans his head against it. He slowly sinks down, smearing blood against the wood. Holding his head, Stéphane turns and walks towards his apartment. In the TV studio, Stéphane opens the plastic curtains, gets a church on screen and checks a camera. Stéphanie's there wearing a white dress and holding a bouquet.
Say it! Say it! You have to say it! Listen to me! Say it.
What happened?
You have to say it.
Hey, just wait a second.
Go on.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Just okay. Right there? Okay, now look at the camera. Will you marry me?
Yes.
Stéphane is with his mother.
Still hurting?
She unwinds a bandage from around his head.
Careful.
She removes the bandage and takes off her dressing, revealing a cut on his forehead.
It's much better.
She examines the wound.
I'll tell the office you're sick. We'll have a nice, quiet day, okay?
Mum? I'm sorry I went with Dad when he left.
That's okay.
Mother sits and looks at Stefan thoughtfully. Mother opens the apartment door for Stefan. He carries his bags and is wearing his woolly hat.
I'll come to the airport.
No need.
I can't just leave you.
It's okay, really. I'll call you from Mexico.
Go speak to her. Do it for me.
I don't want to, now.
I've changed my mind.
Don't be ridiculous. You can't go without saying goodbye.
He sets down a bag.
I feel stupid now.
He places everything on the floor and strolls towards Stefanie's door.
You don't know what happened. You go on and on. Stefan this, Stefan that. Shut the door.
He glares at his mother, who steps back inside the apartment. Stefan stands with his hand on the doorframe.
Hey, Stefan.
Hey.
What's going on?
Nothing's going on. I'm just leaving.
Yeah, I know.
She's smoking and wearing glasses.
Are you still upset with me?
Well, let's just say that there are some unsolved issues.
Yeah. You're not going to let me in. You should install a toilet paper dispenser because people are wiping their dirty sanches here on your door.
Oh, shut up.
She lets him in.
How's your head?
It's okay. It's not normal, though.
Oh, well, of course it's not. It's never going to be.
Yeah, well, it's not attractive to you. I'm glad I made it through your door, though.
Don't be glad. Be sad.
Your English is very good.
What about your French?
No, I can't speak French with you. I'm too shy. The only thing I can say is...
I like your tit. It erects me in my pants.
Stefanie clasps a hand over his mouth. Stefan tosses her cigarette out of the balcony window.
Someone catches fire!
A man on the street is engulfed in orange cellophane.
We've got to help him, quick! Quick!
She leads Stefan into the kitchen, picks up a pan and turns on the tap. The same wiggly pale blue cellophane water pours out. They fill the pan.
Go, 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 go!
They run back to the balcony and empty the water over a man walking beneath them. Stefanie's on her knees. They sit on the window ledge, their backs to the balcony.
You've been crying? I like it when you cry because you have to wear your glasses. I actually don't like it when you cry. I find it horrible. Especially when it's not for me. Will you cry a little when I'm dead? I hate people that pretend that they want everyone to celebrate their death, you know? And everyone's having a blast at the party and nobody gives a shit for the dead. That's horrible, that's bullshit. It's like, hey, would you like to sleep with my girlfriend after my cremation? Do you mind? No? But in my case, the problem is that I don't have a girlfriend. And I'm not dead.
He turns away as she gazes at him. When he lifts his eyes, she turns away. He reaches out his hand.
Put your finger here. Touch here. In the back of the ear. And the glasses. It feels like if the glasses were part of your body.
Oh, true.
No?
It's weird.
I always like that.
My contacts are killing me.
It's like if you were touching your penis with your left hand.
I don't have a penis.
You have a left hand.
Why do you always have to be a pig?
He turns from her intense stare.
I'm teasing you.
She grins toothily.
Will you fix your teeth one day?
Her grin disappears.
You're mean.
No, I'm just saying because, it's going to be 40 years till we marry, and I might as well take care of my goods now, you know? Or actually, you know, don't do anything. Maybe no teeth is good for a blowjob.
Okay, I think you should leave now. You're gonna be late.
You know, sometimes I wear my jeans for more than a week. I'm until they're really bad, and it makes me feel a little bit closer to you.
What do you want me to say to that?
Nothing. Nothing. So how's your boyfriend? You have a new boyfriend? You have a new boyfriend that has, like, long hair and goes bungee jumping and surfing, and does he take you surfing?
Invite me. I mean, I'll go surfing with you. I don't know how to surf, but maybe, I mean, if you want me to.
I don't have a boyfriend. And you have a serious problem of distorting reality. You could sleep with the entire planet and still feel rejected. Please, I'd like you to go now.
I like your boobs. I like your boobs. I think they're very friendly and unpretentious. I'll appreciate if one day you'll show them to me.
Well, there's not much to see. Now
hey,
go.
The mezzanine.
You finished the mezzanine. I thought you were never gonna finish it. Like, you know, like the boat and everything else. Is it solid? Can it hold a boy? A couple?
He leaps on the high bed.
Get out! Get out of here!
No!
Get out or I'll call your mother!
No, my mother, no. No, no, my mother.
You're gonna miss your plane.
I don't care. I don't care.
Why do you do this to me? What have I done to you? Tell me, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. Maybe touch my hair or something?
I can't do that. Why me?
Because everyone else is boring. And because you're different.
She stares up at him.
You don't like me, Stephanie.
His head is buried under the quilt, which he holds tightly in his clenched fists. Seated, Stephanie angles her head upwards to try to catch a glimpse of him. He pulls back the quilt and his eyes are drawn to something at the bedside. He stares at the mottled cloth boat she made and at the trees planted in it. He shuffles his body over towards it, then reaches out and touches the trees. He pulls himself closer to the edge of the bed, places his hand on the time machine beside the boat, and flicks its switch. It flashes. The leaves on the trees rustle, and Stefan falls asleep. His breathing is unlaboured. Stephanie looks up at the sleeping figure. She gets to her feet and moves onto the steps up to the bed, which nearly touches the ceiling. She clambers onto the double bed and crawls across it to lie down behind the peacefully slumbering Stefan. Stephanie reaches out her hand and touches his hair. She runs her fingers through his hair time and again, her eyes fixed on him. The open ground outside the dilapidated Aristotle Records building. Mounted on Golden the Pony, Stefan rides out of the forest with Stephanie behind him, stroking his hair. Stefan has long pointed furry ears. The trees on the cloth boat rustle in a breeze. The cotton wool clouds above them scud across the sky. The cellophane lake rises and falls, and the boat moves away from the shore. Golden canters across a meadow. Stephanie points at the boat, and as they reach the shoreline, Golden leaps onto the boat with them on his back. The boat pulls away from the shore. Stefan is smiling, as is Stephanie, who has her arms clasped around him. The boat glides over the shimmering cellophane lake under the white cotton wool clouds. ITFC audio description was read by Helen Vasey.